Hey, welcome to the Impact Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We hope this week's message is a blessing to you like it was to us. Let's go ahead and jump into it.
All right, Deuteronomy chapter 34. If you're there, say, oh yeah. All right. Chapter 34, verse number 8. And it says, and the children, so backstory here. We just got Israel out of Egypt 40 years ago, right? And they wandered around the desert for 40 years. If you know this story, wave at me. Okay, good. So the children of Israel brought out of Egypt, wandered around the desert for 40 years. They're on the edge of the Jordan River about to cross. Everything look familiar so far? Wave your hands at me if it does. Okay. God, basically, because of some failure and some sin and some things that the previous generation hadn't done right, they weren't allowed to go into the promised land. That included Moses. So Moses is on Mount Nebo. God shows him everything across the river, the whole entire promised land. This is what I promised you. I'm going to take the people over there, but you can't go. And so the Bible says that Moses died at a ripe old age of 120 years old. And now the people are in mourning. Verse number 8, it says, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded to his words and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Flip the page, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to you, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I will give it to you, as I said to Moses. Verse 5. Now no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Somebody say, praise God. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore, the land which I promised to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way, I will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Come on, that's a recipe for success. God said he'll make your way prosperous and he'll give you good success if you do and observe according to all that's written in the book. That's separate from this message, but somebody listen to that. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Look to your neighbor and say, rise up. Look to your other neighbor and say, arise. And that's the title of our message tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the presence of God, Lord, with the people of God, worshiping the name that's above every other name. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, you help us get these thoughts out, Lord, in a timely manner, in a way that's digestible, consumable, and understanding by these young people. Lord, I pray that you open their ears, God, that they may hear with a wisdom, God, and a maturity, God, that is beyond their age. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the word will find its way to the depth of their heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that fruit would come from it. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. 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 So here in our text, we have a people, we have a nation who were without their leader. Moses had died at the ripe old age of 120 years old on Mount Nebo, overlooking all that God had promised him and his generation. In fact, all that God had promised the generations prior to that, going all the way back to Abraham, who was in the land of Ur of Chaldeans. God said, Abraham, get out of the place that you're in. Go to a place that I'm going to show you. If obey me, I'll make this promise to you, and I will send you to a place, and I will make of you a nation that's great and numerous, too many to number, more than the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea. I will make a great and mighty nation out of you. That was the promise that God made to Abraham, down to Jacob, down to Isaac, down to the 12 sons. It goes all the way on until you get, 400, 500 years later, and you are now, so the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. So 450, 440 years that this promise had been made. And so now we have this promise, and God said, listen, Moses, I want you to get my people out of bondage, because that's not the promise I made to Abraham. That's not the promise I made to Isaac. That's not the promise I made to Jacob. And I'm a covenant-keeping God, and they've been in bondage too long. It's time for them to come out. So Moses, whose name actually means deliverer, I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to deliver the people of God out of the hand of Egypt, out of the hand of Pharaoh. And so God was seeing his promise through, and Moses had died overlooking all that God had promised. But this left the gap, if you will, a void in the position of leadership among the children of Israel. Questions started to get asked. What now? What are we going to do? How do we move on from here? What do we do without Moses? What are we going to do without our leader? What if an enemy rises up and attacks us? And I'm sure there were those who had put so much trust and faith in Moses and in his leadership and in his ability to communicate to God and get direction from God that they were completely dismayed. They were heartless. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how they were overcome. This was the one who brought us out of Egypt, I'm sure some of them said. This was the one who used the staff and saw that the Red Sea parted ways. This was the one who prayed down the plagues, the 10 plagues, so that we can be delivered. This was a man of God. This was the one who went up. They were down at the bottom of Mount Sinai when Moses climbed up that mountain and talked to God, and the fire of God came down, and Moses got to see the Lord. Like one of the only people recorded to actually have seen God, and his face glowed so much from having seen the Lord that they had to throw a veil over his head. This was a man who knew how to get a hold of God. This was a leader. This was a revolutionary. This was someone of the utmost importance to the children of Israel, but now he's gone. And some of them had conditioned themselves to rely on Moses for spiritual direction. And they had all these questions going on. But in this moment of desperation, in this moment of isolation, in this moment of questioning, in this moment of criticality, this moment of decision, this moment of utmost importance, God spoke. Right, and I want to stop right there just real quick, because it doesn't matter what God said, it doesn't matter who he said it to, and it doesn't matter exactly when he said it. All I know is this, that when the people of God were facing insurmountable odds, when they were in a moment of change, when they were in a moment of utmost critical importance, when they were in a moment of uncertainty, when they weren't sure what was going to happen next, one thing is for certain, God will speak. Amen. And that's what you and I need to realize as we go through this stage of our lives. We're about to enter into adulthood, and we're about to consider decisions, and it seems like sometimes things are unclear and things are uncertain. Young people, listen to me. God is speaking. God will speak when you have questions. God will speak when you have concerns. God will speak when you are fearful. God will speak when you are dismayed. But the question is this, will you heed and listen to the voice of God? But God spoke to Joshua in the middle of that uncertainty, and he said this word, arise. In other words, Joshua, listen, I know Moses is dead, and I know he was the servant of God, and I know you trusted on him, and I know you leaned on him, and I know you relied on him, but the dude is gone. He's not coming back, and it's time for somebody else to rise up and take the place of Moses. I want you to get up, and I want you to speak to the children of Israel. There will always be those times in the life of a believer where there seems to be more questions than answers, where people are at a crossroads, where things look bleak and desperate. But in those times, God is always and will always be speaking to those who listen, and God will always say, arise. And when I was praying about tonight's service, I began to think about, and I began to be so convinced about your generation and about the condition that the world is in, and we're in really just a very pivotal moment in history, a point of utmost importance, just like the children of Israel were some thousands of years ago in the book of Joshua, in a moment of desperation, in a moment of critical importance. And I believe that this world is shoving an antichrist agenda down your throat. It seems like godly spiritual leaders are few and far between, while inspirational speakers and philosophers under the guise of pastors and preachers are more abundant than ever. I feel like that there's more promoting of self than there is of the Savior. Listen, we are in a very pivotal moment, and I can assure you that in the middle of this pivotal moment, God is speaking to those who will rise up and listen to God. Will you listen to the voice of God? Now more than ever, we need Christians and people of God to rise up. But just because the children of Israel had a promise of God, right? They had this promise of God that they would go into the promised land. Just as they had that promise, you and I also have a promise from God. We have a promise. It's a slightly different promise, right? The promise of God to the children of Israel was, you're going to go into the land. I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be a peculiar people. You're going to be my special people, and I'm going to make a mighty nation out of you. And they had that promise they can stand on. And it didn't matter what the circumstance looked like. It didn't matter what the condition of the world was at the moment. It didn't matter that there were giants on the other side of that river waiting for them. It didn't matter that there were fortified cities just across the river. It didn't matter that there were insurmountable odds. It didn't matter that they felt like they were grasshoppers in their sight, because it didn't matter, because there was a promise of God to a people. And all you need is a promise of God, a word from God, and you can go, because all you need is a touch and a word from God. Just like that blind man in the New Testament, he got a touch from Jesus and a word said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And that man, a blind man, walked halfway through the city on the Sabbath day with nothing more than a word from God and a touch from God. Listen, you don't need a philosopher. You don't need a pastor. You don't need grandma. You don't need grandma. You don't need a self-help book. You don't need anything but a touch from God and a word from Jesus. And you've got the promise from Jesus tonight. The children of Israel, they had a promise from God that you're going to go into a promised land and you're going to do something great and mighty. But just as they had a promise, we've got a promise today that says in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit. You've got a promise found in the book of Mark chapter 16 that says that we have promised to use his name, that we will cast out devils in the name of Jesus, that in the name of Jesus we will speak in new tongues, that in the name of Jesus we will take authority over serpents and demonic powers from hell, that we, if we drink any deadly poison, it will not harm us, that if we lay hands on the sick, bless God, we will see them recover. This is a promise, not from a pastor. This is a promise, not from a self-help guru, but this is a promise from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon you and upon you and upon you. God said, you will cast out devils. You will speak in new tongues. You will take up deadly serpents and demonic powers, and you will see the victory of God. That is a promise straight from the words and the mouth of God himself. So just like the children of Israel had a promise, and at that time that promise didn't look like it was going to come to pass. Their leader was gone. The situation looked bleak. God started speaking to a young man. And I believe with all my heart there's an antichrist agenda being shoved down your throat. There's an agenda out there that's saying we're going to buck the system. There's an agenda out there that says you don't need that antiquated Bible. You don't need that irrelevant Jesus. They're trying to put Jesus in some history book like he's some figure like Gandhi or something. They're trying to back Jesus and our God into some corner and just relegate him to a historical figurehead, right? They're trying to say, oh, well, you know, Jesus was a good man. He was an inspiration. He was a revolutionary of his time. But they forget he is the Savior of the world. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. And this world is trying to push and is trying to resist, trying to make you think, listen, I know what the devil's trying to do. I work in corporate America. I get it all the time. I know how he's trying to condition your mind. Whether you go to a Christian school or not, you can't help but scroll through social media. You can't help but turn on TV. You can't even watch a Disney show without Buzz Lightyear wanting to be in a gay relationship. You can't do anything right now without this world trying to shove their agenda down your throat. Listen, it's an antichrist spirit. It's a spirit that's against Christ. That's a says, listen, I know God's got a promise, but I'm going to do everything I can as the enemy of God to make sure you don't fulfill the promise of God. I'm going to make you feel dismayed. I'm going to make you feel like a hateful bigot if you don't go along and get along and just be copacetic and go on with everything. But if you speak up and you stand out and you speak against, then I'm going to make you feel like you're a minority, like you're all by yourself. Listen, that's a trick and a tactic of the enemy and a devil to shut you back and push you in a corner and tell you to be quiet and shut up and don't walk in the promise of God, because the enemy is scared to death, because he knows, hath not God said it, will it also come to pass? He knows that Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11, that so forth, so my word be, shall be, that as it goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper whereunto the thing I sent it, and it'll accomplish that thing in which I please. Listen, the devil in hell knows the word of God. He knows there's absolutely nothing. I know I'm moving 100 miles an hour right now, but I don't have a choice. But God, just like he did a few thousand years ago, he was looking for a young man like he was looking for Joshua. Looking for a young woman like you look for Deborah in the book of Judges. In a moment of criticality, in a moment of historical pivot, in a moment of do or die in society, God always spoke. And it was the one who listened that you hear about in this Bible. There's no doubt in my mind. I wonder how many times God spoke to some man in some other foreign land. Leave where you're at. Follow me. Obey me, and I'll make a mighty nation of you. But could it be that Abraham obeyed? Therefore, the promise came to Abraham. You might say, oh, well, Joshua was Moses' assistant, so he was the rightful successor. Listen, it had nothing to do with Moses' death. Because if you go in your Bible, in fact, if you go to Exodus chapter 17, the Bible, this was 40 years before the death of Moses. So don't give me that garbage that, oh, Joshua had to wait his turn to rise up and take his place as the leader over the children of Israel. He wasn't waiting for Moses to die. Joshua had a rise up mentality. Anytime the children of Israel were faced with insurmountable odds, when they were faced with fear, when they were faced with anxiety, when they were faced by the enemy, it was Joshua as a young man that rose up with boldness and said, send me, I'll do the work of God. In Exodus chapter 17, you have to go back and read it. Amalek, one of the kings, rose up against the enemy, the people of God, as an enemy to destroy them. And the Bible says Joshua rose up and chose men to go fight and overwhelm Amalek and his warriors with the edge of the sword. This was 40-something years before Moses ever died. This was the type of man that Joshua was. In Numbers chapter 13, Moses sent 12 men into the promised land and said, go spy out the land, come back with a report. 11 of them said, we can't do it. We're like tiny people compared to those big old giants over there. Then we're going to be overcome by them. We're like grasshoppers on their side. We can't do this. It's everything God promised. God wasn't lying. Listen, the grapes are huge. It's surely a land flowing with milk and honey. God wasn't exaggerating. This is a wonderful promise from God, but we can't do it. Who rose up? Joshua and Caleb rose up at that moment of pivotal decision. And they said, listen, we can do it. We are more than able to overcome. We can do this thing for God. So listen, you don't have to wait for Moses to die. You don't have to wait for Pastor Tom to go on to glory. You don't have to wait for Sister Janice to find her way on the other side of that chilly Jordan. But what I'm telling you right now, you can rise up and you can say, listen, if Amalek is coming after my generation, I'm going to go after him. And if there's people who have a contrary report about my generation, I'm going to stand up and say, we are more than able to overcome addiction. We're more than able to overcome anxiety. We're more than able to overcome depression. I will arise and fulfill the word of God. Listen, it wasn't just Joshua. What about David? When the children of Israel were facing a nasty giant by the name of Goliath. A mean mamma jamma, a bad dude, said, listen, you're like a dog. I'm coming after you. I'm going to destroy this nation. What did the Bible says? David, the Bible says, rose up and said, is there not a cause? Come on, that's what happens when the enemy begins to taunt your generation. That's what God's looking for. God's looking for somebody who gets their hair stood up on their back and said, I'm so tired of the devil telling me my generation is hopeless and helpless and lost without God. I'm so tired of the devil telling me my generation is going to be hooked on pornography. I'm so tired of the devil telling me that in order for a boy to love me, I've got to send them new pictures of me. I'm so tired of the devil telling my generation that in order for me to be popular, I got to vape and I got to smoke and I got to do this and I got to do that. It's about time we rise up and get our hair stood up on the back of the head and say, we will arise and we will walk in the fullness of what God promised for my generation. What about the children of Israel carried off to Babylonian captivity? God spoke to a young prophet by the name of Jeremiah, and he rose up and he began to prophesy. God's going to bring you out of this thing. Listen, I could paraphrase this entire message, and I think I'm going to have to. I'm going to paraphrase most of this message and say, listen, God's looking for somebody to rise up. You go through your scriptures. You find it. Whether it's the Midianites coming against the people of God and stealing everything they had and torturing and tormenting the people of God. What did God do? He spoke to a young man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon at that moment had a moment of choice, a moment of critical decision. Will I sit here at the wine press in the mully grubs depressed about what the Midianites are going to come and do here in a couple months when the crops turn and they're ready for harvest? Or am I going to get myself ready and rise up and face the enemy? And the Bible says that Gideon rose up and he got himself a lot of men. And God said, listen, it's too many men. And God had to whittle that thing down to men who had a backbone that were going to stand up and face the enemy. And God saw a generation through to victory because Gideon said, enough of this cowering in the background. I'm going to rise up and face the enemy. What about in Acts chapter 2 when Peter and the rest of the disciples, the odds that they were facing, Jesus had just been crucified. To identify as one of those followers of Christ meant certain death. But the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and the cloven tongues as of fire fell on each of them, and they all began to speak in the unknown tongue. Peter, the Bible says, stood up. Come on. He rose up with boldness. The same one, yes, just a few chapters before denied Christ. The same one just a few chapters before and said, I don't know the man. The same one just a few chapters before who heard that rooster and followed Jesus from a distance. What was the change maker? What was the difference maker? Why the change in the demeanor of Peter in three chapters? I'm telling you, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as it were a mighty rushing wind. Listen, God wants you to rise up, but don't think you're going to rise up in your own might and your own authority. You need the power of the Holy Ghost, or you'll sit there as a coward in your entire life. I know that's a little strong. You're not the church of tomorrow. That is the greatest lie of the devil against your generation. You got to wait your turn. You got to wait till Moses dies. If you need no other example than Sunday night, I'm not saying it was because of any fleshly man or anything any one particular person did, but I'm telling you that church rallied and had a great victory of the Holy Ghost because of what they saw the Lord doing in our young people. Listen to me. You got more power than you think you got. You got more influence than you think you've got. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example to all believers. It's time that we get those altars full again. It's time that we quit sitting back waiting. Well, is Jonah going to go? Is somebody else going to go? Is a different leader going to go? Who's going to be the first to the altar? It's time that we get to those altars and we be an example to the church. We're the first up there to pray for somebody who's crying. That we're the first up there to believe somebody to get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's time that we lead, and we lead by example. Because why? Every great move of God can be traced back to a kneeling figure. And if you study great awakenings and you study revivals, most of those kneeling figures were under the age of 20. It's time that we rise up. Listen, Joshua supported. I'm not saying young people take over. Because listen, Joshua supported the vision of Moses and the direction of Moses with fervor and passion while Moses was leading the people. I am in no way saying old people get out of the way. That is contrary to the word of God. That is not the plan of God. David was anointed to be king for years, 30, 40 years before he ever took that throne. Meanwhile, Saul at sometimes tried to kill him, but the Bible says that sometimes David ministered unto Saul and played music and supported Saul when people would want to rise up against Saul. David would support Saul all while knowing he had a promise from God. Joshua supported the vision and direction of Moses with fervor and passion. He maintained an attitude of faith, believing God, what God said he would do. It was this that made Joshua the obvious choice, not his relationship with Moses. It was the fact that he faithfully supported the vision of God. It was the fact that he was maintained an attitude of faith, believing despite circumstances, despite what we look like to those giants, despite Amalek coming after. I believe that God has a promise and there's not a demon in hell that's going to stop it. It's time you believe that this isn't just some promise that the Joel prophesied some 2,000 years ago, and they're empty and vain words. God said in the last days. And if you don't believe we're in the last days, friend, turn on the news, get your Bible open and start looking. Open your eyes. It's blatantly obvious. They've already got the cornerstone, the limestone, right? Indiana. Did you know the state of Indiana is the largest limestone repository in the world as far as limestone mines, and the foundation of that temple the Bible says will be built in limestone? You know they've been exporting limestone from Indiana by the tons for the last decade. by the tons. They're preparing to Israel. They've been shipping limestone from Israel, from Indiana to Israel for the last several years. Why? In preparation to build that temple. That's the last thing that has to happen. That cornerstone has to be laid. That temple has to be erected. And friend, that trumpet's going to sound. That eastern sky is going to split. The dead in Christ will rise first. And we which remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. Don't make the mistake thinking you've got years and decades, friend. It could be minutes and seconds. It could be before we get out of this service. But listen to what I'm telling you right now. It's time for us to rise up. Rise up. The Bible said God spoke to Joshua and said, rise up, go over this Jordan. It's time that we do the same thing. What is Jordan? Jordan represents an obstacle. At the time they crossed the Jordan River, the Bible is very clear to call out it was the season of the harvest. It was the flood time. That Jordan River was deeper than it ever would be any other time of the year. It was wider. It was insurmountable. It was unable to cross. And you might think, well, they crossed in the middle of the summer when it was dry and it was just a little hop over. No, God made sure he waited until that river was at its widest. It was at its deepest. It was at its most uncrossable state. And the Bible said to Joshua, tell the people, get over this obstacle. Get over this thing that's between you and your promise. Get over this thing that says stop. That's what that river said. Stop. Don't go any further. And listen, that's what the devil's trying to tell you. It's that demon called Jordan saying stop. Don't go any further. Don't go after God. Stay on social media. Keep playing those video games. Keep bickering back and forth. Don't get serious about God. Don't pray. Stop. Don't go any further. But if you and I make up our mind that we'll speak to that Jordan, we'll cross over. God said he'll bring you through on dry ground into everything he promised. Say, get over Jordan. Rise up and overcome the lies of the enemy against the promise of God for your generation. Rise up and take territory from the enemy. Every place you walk, God said, I will give it to you. Rise up and take back what the enemy has taken from your generation. Their faith, their purity, their boldness, their independence, right? The enemy has done so much against your generation. We need a group of Joshuas to rise up and say, I'll take it back. Rise up because no enemy will be able to stand against you. Depression, addiction, lust, pride, the list goes on. But verse 5 in our text says, no man will be able to stand against you. You can place that word man or replace it with enemy because that's what he meant. There's no enemy that's going to come against you that's going to be able to stand against you. Listen, young man, I don't know how long you've been struggling with it, how long you've been dealing with it, and men aren't the only ones here, ladies. I know some of you ladies struggle with it as well. But listen, you don't have to keep struggling with that. The Bible says no enemy is going to be able to stand against you, right? If you'll believe God, if you'll trust God, and you will, and hey, it may require some acts of faith on your end. If your problem is a smartphone because you can't seem to get right with God, when you're privately with yourself and by yourself and you got to go to www.garbage.com all the time. Listen, it's time you get yourself a dumb phone. If your problem's a smartphone, get you one of those old Nokias and start playing Snake late at night on your phone, right? Get you one of those beep, 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 whatever. But listen, go to heaven. Don't go to hell because of a smartphone. I'd rather go to heaven with a dumb phone than hell with a smartphone. Praise God. I won't need a phone in heaven. Rise up with strength and courage. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What is courage? The ability to do something that's frightening. To face your fear. The ability to persevere in opposition, like Tori said. That's what courage is. God wants some young people to rise up and say, I'm going to persevere in the face of opposition. I'm going to look that devil square in the eyes and say, I will testify. I'm going to look that devil square in the eyes. I will be all that God called me to be. I will pray out loud. Lastly, it's time that we rise up to do all that is written in the Word of God. Just like they said in our text tonight, if you read it, observe to do according to all that is written in this book. What book am I talking about? I'm talking about the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the word for me. I stand up tall on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. That's what we need, is the Word of God in our life. And Joshua said, listen, it's time to rise up. And that's what Joshua did. He rose up to observe all that was written in the book, and he did not turn from it. If you need direction in your life, it's found in the Word of God. There's no such thing as an I don't know what to do as a child of God. The Word of God through the Spirit of God and a prayer life and a life in the Word of God will give you direction in every area of your life. So I want this generation, I want the courage and strength that comes with being a Spirit-filled believer to saturate this generation.
Thanks for listening. If you were blessed or encouraged, go ahead and subscribe to the Impact Podcast and share it with a friend to bless them too. Connect with us on Instagram @ImpactYM, and remember, you can have as much of God as you want.